good to be with you tonight. Does it seem like April is just rushing by? I want to talk to you tonight. I want to start a series. We'll call it Processing Pain. And if you look at your hand now, we're going to go over that in just a few minutes. But I want to talk about this tonight. Horatio Spafford wanted to join Dwight L. Moody for a crusade in England. He had some business to attend to, so he sent his wife and his four daughters on a ship before him. The ship was destroyed by another ship in the night, and his four daughters died, and his wife was saved.
Excuse me.
And shortly after, he wrote the famous hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." To me, man has always had to deal with pain. I'm going to talk tonight specifically about grief and loss. Wherever you find loss, you find grief. They go together. Really, you can't separate the two. Grief really is an emotional pain that affects the soul. Grief is a result, usually, of something we did not expect. Grief is most of the time a response that we are not prepared to deal with it. Many times, when things happen, and they happen without any knowledge, it brings grief. Man, am I ready to deal with this? Grief also is a rehearsal of those hurtful or painful memories. When you're grieving, you're basically just on a loop thinking about those things. I want to talk about the book of Job. I want to talk about Job tonight. First of all, the book of Job is the oldest book in the Bible. Many believe he lived hundreds of years before Abraham. Different commentaries say that. Now, what is amazing here is that Job knew nothing about God's conversation with Satan. He found out in heaven, but he knew nothing about it. And we're going to find out how when the angels came to present themselves, Satan also came. Now, it's interesting that many things in the Bible are not explained. In other words, why did God allow him to come before his throne? We'll never know that on this earth. But we do know he still has access to that place because he accuses the brethren day and night before the throne of God. You know, there are some things that only eternity is going to give us full understanding. Job was stripped of everything except his integrity. In fact, I don't look at the book of Job as a book of suffering. I look at it as a book of a man who kept his integrity even when his wife said, "Do you still hold on to your integrity, Job?" But I want to talk tonight about some things, how he got through this grief. And I want to talk about the pain of grief and loss. If you look at Job chapter 1, start reading there, verse 1. "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and the man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. There were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He possessed 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. So that this man was the greatest of all the people of the east. His sons used to go and hold the feast in the house of each one on his day, and they would sit and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And when the days of the feast had run their course, Job would set and consecrate them. And he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. Lord, bless tonight your word and help us to have some understanding in times of grief and loss. You know, Job had a walk with God. This is the thing that we must realize about pain and loss. There's no way to escape it while we're on this earth. All of us will experience the loss of a loved one, the pain of disappointment. And see, if someone doesn't have Christ, then grief can consume them. I've actually seen people whose spouse died that the grief would not leave, and they died within a year or two with a broken, grieving heart. They could not get over it. I've actually seen that with my own experiences. But I want you to notice here, because I want to approach the grief of loss and pain. I want to approach it this way. That preparation is vital. It's not going to do any good if I'm not prepared to deal with this loss and grief. Job was prepared simply because of his walk with God. Number one, he was blameless and upright. What that meant was that his life was geared to make sure he doesn't sin against God. That even though he had no Bible, yet his conscience and his spirit were connected to the righteousness of God. That he knew that God was righteous and he did everything he could to be blameless. Second thing, he's one who feared God. Well, how did he learn about the fear of the Lord? There wasn't any preachers. Interesting, isn't it? But David said something remarkable. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament his handiwork. Day after and night they utter speech. In other words, Job realized that if God created everything, he is to be feared. The third thing, that he turned away from evil. That he didn't want evil. He resisted evil. He didn't like it when men were unjustly murdered or killed. He didn't like it when people were being stolen from. He resisted evil. And then his walk was based also, he loved his children. And he was concerned about his children. Interesting. He had never heard a message about bringing up children of the Lord. But yet here he is, every day, consecrating them by offering sacrifices because maybe one of them, when they were drunk, cursed God. Now that's pretty powerful. I want to meet Job in heaven. A man that had no what we would call spiritual help. He didn't have someone he could call for counseling. But he had something that I want. Amen. Now, in between that verse and verse 13 is when Satan stood before God. And God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And Satan says, "Hey, you know, you've given him all this stuff, and if you take it all away, he's going to curse you." And God, you know, God, it's just amazing to me, this discourse between Satan and God. And God said, "You know, that's not true," is my paraphrase. "That's not true. He's not serving me for stuff." And you know, if we serve God for any other reason that he's God, When stuff goes, so does our faith. Look at verse 13. Now, Satan had already talked to God. God said, okay, see what you can do with it. God already knew. Verse 13. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their older brother's house. I don't know if they were partiers or not. Kind of seems like they were. And there came a messenger to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding behind beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was yet speaking, you know, sometimes things come at us so fast. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was yet speaking, there came another, oh my goodness, and said, the Chaldeans formed three groups and made a raid on the camels and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword. And I am the only one that came to escape. And here's another, while he was yet speaking. I mean, I'm kind of thinking, Job is thinking, is it going to get any worse? While he's yet speaking, there came another and said, your sons and daughters. Now, I don't know, but after those three, if this another one came and said, mentioned my sons and daughters, I would be like, oh my, what is he going to say? Eating and drinking wine in their older brother's house, and behold, a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job did not sin or charge God with wrongdoing. We'll look at each one of these things. But I just want to make a comment about the worship. You know, worship means I'm connected to the eternal. Worship means I am connected to something greater than this temporary life. Worship means that I no longer worship at my own altar. I want to talk about the three responses and the words of Job that, to me, will give us understanding to be prepared to deal with the loss of the grief. First of all, I want to talk about Job's first response. Everybody say response.
Response.
We all are going to respond to loss and grief different ways. Some people bury it and they don't talk about it. What's wrong? I don't want to talk about it. Other people just open right up. But no one here is exempt from responding when things grieve us and loss comes. But look at Job's first response. Job arose because he was like, four things and my children are gone. He arose and tore his robe, shaved his head, fell on the ground, and worshipped. He rose, tore his robe, act of humility, shaved his head, another act of humility, fell on the ground, another gigantic step of humility. You can't go any lower than the ground. But then he worshiped. This was his response. I have nothing left but you, God. I have no resources. I have no children. But I've got you. Now, none of us can actually put ourselves into the pain that he was experiencing. We never have experienced that type of pain, though we have experienced the pain of the loss of a loved one. So his response was great humility. His response was, I'm worshiping someone greater than this grief. That I refuse to worship the loss or the grief. Incredible to me. I've seen many people over the years not be able to get through grief. God wants us tonight to have a system in place, like Job, that we return to our source of life, and that these things need not distract us. Oh, I do believe that there is a grieving period. I do believe that pain is real, loss hurts. But see, Job's response tells us that he worshiped God more than this life on this earth. Job's first words out of his mouth, and I tell you, when you have grief and loss, those first 2 minutes of what I say either can make you or break you. You know, he didn't charge God foolishly, like, why, God, did you do this? I can't believe this is happening to me. His first words, listen, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. What an amazing perspective that Job had. He's not saying in his first words, oh, my children died, oh, I lost everything. No, I guarantee you his emotions were ready to say that. I came in naked, I'm going out naked. How many people forget that? Oh, yeah. Came in crying, was birthed in pain, and many times we leave in pain. Came in naked, someone else will dress your body. But what a perspective. Because he says this, the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Now some people will say, well, this, is that really a biblical doctrine or a biblical theology that God gives and he takes away? Remember that song we sing, the Lord gives and takes away? What's that worship song we sing? I don't know the name of it. Maybe Terry does. The Lord give and take away. That's the book of Job. Job's understanding of God was this. He doesn't make mistakes. And Job had to walk by faith because he had an incomplete knowledge of what even was happening in the spirit world. He had to trust God. And I tell you what, you know, when we face grief and loss, our trust level has got to be at its highest peak. Okay. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Is that the song that came out about 10 years ago? Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be Job here. Blessed. Now, to me, this is astounding. He lost probably in today's market probably $10 to $15 million. His children. Yet he's saying, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh my. Job, you're the man. I said, Job, you're the man. Sometimes it's hard, you know, we have a little thing happen to us and we don't say, blessed be the name of the Lord. But I want us tonight to understand that God wants us to be prepared for when those things come. Amen. Hey, angels, I didn't know you're bowling on Wednesday night. Come on, knock it off. Okay. Anyway, that's what my mom used to say, angels are bowling, you know. When I was afraid, when I was little, I thought they came. I know you all. Anyway, Job's first response, Job's first words, and then Job's first position. Everybody say position. This is the crux of the message. It's our position with God, because grief and loss with them in some capacity. If Jesus tarries, we'll have to deal with it. Amen. This is his position. In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. There are millions of people tonight. God, why is this happening? God, why are you allowing this? And we're like Job. We don't know all that's happening in the spirit world. But we do know this, that God is good, and God is just, and God is merciful. In fact, he told Satan, and we're talking about this next week with physical pain, he says, he's in your hands, but I'm limiting you, you can't kill him. The Bible says that God will not allow anything in our life that we cannot handle by his grace. Hallelujah. In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrongdoing. This might seem simple and pretty pragmatic, but the reality is, especially if you get around unbelievers and they have grief and loss, God's name usually comes up to charge him foolish. Three things of Job's position. And we need to have this. Number one, he positioned his heart. You look through the Bible. You look through with Noah. You look through with David. You look through the Bible with Paul. They had many situations where there was grief and loss. And either they would do like Job and not charge God and trust him, which they did, or they would just give up their faith. His heart was positioned. That is the most important thing. You might be shedding tears during the loss. You might be shedding tears during the grief. But that doesn't mean you can't keep your heart like Job's. It's the Lord I worship. I'm done trying to figure God out. He's made himself known in his word. But there's so much more of God. You see, worship has to do with this. I have incomplete knowledge of even though all of the ways of God. I have to worship something. I have to worship him because he's so great. I only know a fraction of what I should know about him. And so I worship him because of his greatness. I worship him because even in the midst of loss and grief, I know my Redeemer liveth. And Job says, when he has tested me, he knoweth the way that I go. And when he has tried me, I shall come forth with gold. You see, the song, My Redeemer Liveth, went around the world. But that came from a man who had a position with God that wouldn't be shaken. Can you imagine going back to his house and there's all the seven rooms for his sons and three for his daughters and all the things and all the dresses from when they were little and the baseball bat with the sons and all that. And all of a sudden it hits him in his face. But he kept his heart right. There are people that will go to their grave with bitter hearts, sour towards God, because they didn't position their heart before the grief and loss came. I'm not going out that way. I'd rather shake my head, fall on my face, and just stay there and worship God and say, here I am, God, I came in naked, I'm going out naked, but I worship you. I commit it all to you now. Number one, he positioned his heart. Number two, he positioned his confession. He made sure his confession was not blaming God. can understand sometimes 19, 20-year-olds are in car accidents and die. How can we understand young men, young women? I saw a thing the other day. This couple went out, you know, they just went out to some, maybe it was Yellowstone, I don't know. They went out there for a drive, and car broke down, and she ended up dying, and he's half dead somewhere. I mean, who can explain all of that? All I do know is that we must be like Job and position ourselves, our heart, position our confession. And the third one, if I begin to close, we must position our course of action. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Our heart is positioned. My words are positioned. Now I need a course of action. I can't just allow the grief and loss to consume me. I can't lock myself away, pretend it didn't happen. I must be free from grief. Surely He has borne our griefs. Surely He has carried our sorrows. The reality is we have revelation that Job did not have. He had some of the Christ, because he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. But we have the whole Bible about Jesus. He said, I'm never going to leave you. Never going to forsake you. That revelation for us is how we position ourselves during loss and grief. That you have someone with you that understands. You know, it's one thing to have somebody around you and that's nice and everything, but they don't understand. But when you have somebody around you and you share something, and they say, I understand, I get, I've been there. It's like an instant bondage of unity. That's what Jesus was trying to do with the disciples. He said, y'all understand this parable? Y'all understand? And a lot of times they didn't understand. In fact, they really didn't understand about the resurrection until after it happened. But you know, Jesus is so wonderful to us that He said, I've carried those griefs already. And as we position ourselves like Job and take that yoke of grief off and put His yoke on, doesn't mean the memories will be. Doesn't mean a tear might not come down my cheek. But the venom that's in grief and loss to try to choke the life out of us will be gone. Because the Savior, our Savior, took that on the cross for us. I've done many funerals. Prayed for many widows, widowers. One of the hardest funerals for me to do was in Pennsylvania. Five teens were in a car. Going 9 miles an hour, they missed the curb in the tree. All five were killed at the scene. They asked me to do the funeral. They didn't go to church. Most of them, the parents. About 300 teenagers there crying. It was unbelievable, actually. It was, they were crying so much I could hardly even preach. They were, you know how you go to a funeral, everybody's listening to the preacher. It was not like that. It was just, yeah. Grief is real. Loss is real. We must position ourselves like Job. We must respond like Job. We must have a course of action. That's why praying every morning, seeking God in His Word, you are taking a course of action that when it does knock at your door, there might be a tear, but it won't consume you where you don't want to live. So if you're hurting tonight, grieving tonight, know this. The same God that comforted Job, the same God that restored everything back to him. In fact, he said when he had daughters, there was none fairer in the whole earth. He had twice as much stuff, but by that time he didn't care about stuff. That God won't allow more to come to you than you can handle. Grief and loss can have an expiration date. Oh, the memory will be there. But the feelings of grief and loss have an expiration date when we draw close to God and when we worship Him. Because of His great love wherein He has loved us. Job, I want to talk to you, man, when I get to heaven. I want to see all that God did with you. Sit down. See, that's one of the things in eternity we're going to be doing. Here's what we're going to do in eternity. Not just judge angels and have cities, but I believe we'll be able to sit down with some of the saints. I do. God do. Be awesome. Lord. Amen. God bless you tonight. May His love keep you. May you take His yoke upon you. May you know the God that Job knew. God that will get you through. And through it all, even though you've seen many tears and sorrow, even though you've had questions for tomorrow, and through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. God bless you tonight. He'll keep you. May His face shine upon you. May His love blossom in your heart. May you be someone that can bring good news to someone who's grieving. May you be an instrument of God, an instrument of healing, encouragement, an instrument that can cause others to fall down and worship during their time of testing. Because you have your position with God. And like the hymn said, I shall not. I'm like the tree planted by the waters, and I shall not be moved. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Let's give God a praise.